Hello and welcome to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How you doing out there in this bright sunshiny day? I am live right now on www.wwgh1071.com and I'm live right now on that TuneIn app. If you have not downloaded it or you know someone who wants to be a part of the show, let them know that they can download that app on any electronic device. And once you do, please search WWGH. I'm live right now in the studio. If you would like to call and connect with us and have any questions or just want to be a part of the show, please call 740-383-9944. Okay, now let us move on. If it's your first time, I pray it's not your last time. And if you are a faithful listener and supporter, Happy New Year to all of you. And I pray this will be a better year than you had last year. And also for myself, okay? Not that it was all that bad, but it can always be better, right? Absolutely. But along with you all, it's Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street in Marion, Ohio. That number is 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Number there, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement, free produce, will begin in April of 2026. If you know of anyone who needs prayer, we're asking people to pray for their loved ones, their neighbors, and their friends. And a couple people I want you to lift up in prayer, and that would be Cheryl Lee. Health issues, you can lift me up in prayer. Health issues, anyone else you may know of, just lift them up in prayer. We are helpers one to another. I have a thought for today. I'm going to get this out of my almanac calendar.
Ooh, that's a big one.
Isn't that a big one? I love it. I love it. I love it. And the girl told me, she said, I heard they weren't going to be making any more of these, so I had to buy it.
That's a collector's item, man.
It sure is. It sure is. Okay, this is thought for today. Moderation, small helpings, sample a little bit of everything. These are the secrets of happiness and good health. Wow. And how many times do you run across people, I don't like that, you know, and they haven't even tasted it, right? And they have their nose all stuck up, you know. Have you ran into people like that before, Fred?
Yes.
Just afraid of everything, right?
Yeah.
Just picky. But that is the joy of life, isn't it?
It is.
Being able to sample things and live.
It is.
And yeah, live.
For sure.
Okay, so we will move on. Turn my attention to my guest today, Fred Malone. He is the chairman of the Marion County Historical Society. How are you doing today, Fred?
Wonderful. Now that the wind's died down just a tad bit, it was really strong.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that terrible?
I just told Linda I had to chase some of my trash down the street today that blew out of the can before the garbage man came. So that was an experience. I'm sure the neighbors might have enjoyed it if they were watching. You know?
Could. And you probably weren't the only one chasing this stuff.
No. In fact, I think the guy that lived down the street from me, his whole can was rolling down the street. So. But anyway, that's a good statement you were talking about. Here's my problem, though. I can't sample just a little bit of everything. I have to take too much of everything. And push myself away from the table.
Right,
a little bit
okay.
More. I guess that should have been my New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
But you know, I quit making New Year's resolutions a long time ago because it seems like I can never follow through with them, and then I felt bad.
Right.
So I thought, well, if I don't make any, I'll just try to do good in a lot of different things and then count it as a plus, you know.
Yeah, well, that could work too.
One way to look at it.
That could work out too. Yeah.
So you were under the weather.
Yes, I was.
Last week. Yeah.
Yes, I was. Yeah, I feel better.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
And I thought, you know, I said maybe I shouldn't have went to church Sunday, you know, because that wind was so cold.
Well, you know, and then here's the thing I always think about. It's better to take those extra days, a couple of days, and stay home because you don't want to infect somebody else.
No, you don't.
That's the deal. And when you get to be as the younger people call me, elderly. You're concerned not just about yourself, but about others.
Right.
And especially after we went through that crazy COVID a few years ago, it just makes me think again about going out when I'm not feeling well. So
that's true.
Yeah, and better be should. Better safe than sorry, as
that's
they
true.
Say. Yeah.
I didn't even have the strength to get up. It was like bed, you know what I mean? Just laying around.
Something like that hits you, you're just down.
Yes.
You're just down.
Just down.
Yep, for sure. Well, we kicked off America 250.
Yes.
A week ago this past Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I had a ribbon cutting on the steps of Heritage Hall.
Yes.
I think there were, I didn't count, but just kind of knowing how many people our auditorium holds, I want to guess there are between 75 and 85 people there.
That's quite a bit.
Yes. And Linda was there. I was there. We did a photograph.
Yes, we did.
On the front steps of the museum. And I understand it was in the newspaper.
It was.
And I don't take the paper anymore, so I didn't get an opportunity to see it, but I understand it was...
You didn't get to see it?
No, I didn't get to see it.
I have it.
But wonderful kickoff, nice crowd there. And so we are now into January 2026 of America 250. And I just thought I'd kind of run down some of the things that are keynoted for the month of January, even though it's already practically all gone, two-thirds gone.
Yes, it is.
But January's highlights are Marion's Firsts and Marion's Originals. So I'm just going to kind of run through the list. The Women's Club Home was the first of its kind when founded in Marion. And a very active organization to this day. They've done quite a bit with their building, which is located out on 309 East. And if you haven't had an opportunity, when they have an event down there that's open to the public, you should try to get out there. Last summer, I believe it was last summer or summer before last, I've forgotten now, time gets by real quickly with me, they dedicated an Ohio historical marker in front of the ladies' home, which is a great honor, as we know. And there are a number of Ohio historical markers in Marion County. And maybe one of these days, now that we're in America 250, Linda, I'll bring in a list of all those historical markers, and we'll talk about them that are located in Marion County. And last summer, we dedicated one down at Martin Luther King Park, celebrating Shantytown and the early black community in Marion. So that's a great one. If you haven't seen that one, stop down and take a look at that. We are a presidential town. We are the home of Warren Harding, President of the United States. 1920 to 1923, halfway through 23. So that's a very important. We, of course, are the home of Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States, and still going strong at 95, I believe, that she is now. So that's another something to be proud of. We are the home of the Peace and Freedom Speech Contest. So that will be incorporated into America 250. Just had the annual Martin Luther King breakfast. Neither Linda nor I were able to attend
sure
this year.
Not.
Linda was down and out there for a while.
Yes.
And I just had too many other conflicting things going on. Was there last year and have made it to several of them over the years and really, really enjoy the event. They always put on a great program.
Oh, yeah, they do.
And always have a great breakfast, too. But that's a very important part of Marion. We were awarded the strongest town in America this past fall. Another great honor for Marion. And I always amaze people that come into the museum that have never been here or haven't been in Marion and do not know about the Isley Company being the creator of the Klondike Bar.
Yeah, I know.
So we're celebrating the Klondike Bar. And every year in March, the last Saturday of March, which I'll talk about a little later, when we do the Night at Heritage Hall at the museum to kick off our season, our reenactors at Portrait Characters at the event. At the end of the event, we gather around in the auditorium before we all say goodnight and head home, and we say, what would you do for a Klondike bar?
Right.
And what they did was just perform in the museum. So we give them a Klondike bar, and that's what we celebrate with. We have a Klondike bar at the end of the night.
Wow.
So that's a Marion first. The Marion Power Shovel. Prominent in building the Panama Canal.
Yes.
If it wasn't for that power shovel from Marion, the canal may not have gotten built. Mm. And we do have some photographs at the museum in our collection of Teddy Roosevelt sitting on a Marion steam shovel in the Panama Canal.
Wow.
So that's also a great thing, too. We are the home of the Marion Palace Theater, one of the nicest reconstructed theaters in the whole state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Which celebrates Marion in a lot of different ways throughout the year, not only with nationally known talent that come in and perform, but also a lot of great local talent that we have here in Marion, especially featured every year when they do their annual Christmas pageant. And then, of course, throughout the year, there are a lot of local plays put on with local actors and actresses. And then also a lot of the high schools use the Palace Theater to do their plays as well. So a very important part of Marion County. Bridges Out of Pottery. We are a national leader of the Bridges Out of Pottery. We also have a number of things that the courts have put on to try to get people away from the alcohol and drugs, with the drug court and that type of thing, which try to help people with their recuperation and their escape or their bridge out of drugs and alcohol.
Right.
Not, which a lot of times go along with the poverty part of
it. Yes, it does.
It does, sometimes tremendously. You can start out doing well. Something can happen. You can turn to alcohol and drugs, and you may have been comfortable in a home, and all of a sudden you've lost that home. And unfortunately, we are seeing more homeless even in our area.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's unfortunately, growing. People forget about that.
Yes.
Same way with the food banks. And with the federal government cutting off a lot of the funding for food banks around the country, we as individuals have to kick in and make up that difference. Because if we don't, a lot of our fellow human beings are going to starve.
True.
I mean, it's just that serious.
Right.
It's going to happen. So those are the things that are kind of going with America 250 in the month of June, and I'll be back in February. I haven't talked to Linda yet about February, but I'm hoping that she has February the 12th open, because if she does, that's Abraham Lincoln's birthday, and I would love to be here on Lincoln's birthday and talk about Abraham Lincoln and some of the things that he's done. So we'll try to see if that works out, if she doesn't have somebody already scheduled for that. Keeping in kind of the realm of America 250, I wanted to talk a little bit about Heritage Hall and the Marion County Historical Society before we move on to something else. Of course, Heritage Hall, the museum for the Marion County Historical Society, is now closed for the season, and we are rebooting our exhibit. We normally completely change the main exhibit, which this year was a celebration of the 175th anniversary of the Marion County Fair. But we have decided going forward into 2026, we're going to keep a lot of the things that were in this year's exhibit, because a lot of the things in the exhibit for the fair and a lot of the other things that are in the exhibit kind of tie in with each one of the months in America 250. We'll be bringing some other things out of the archives and replacing some of the things that don't have a direct correlation. But transportation, we're going to talk about a lot of the transportation issues that have taken place in Marion, the interurban and things like that we had here and that type of thing. So we're going to kind of use the exhibit that we had from this past year and rebuild on it and kind of reuse some of the things that were already there. With that in mind, we will be kicking off the season March the 28th, which is on a Saturday, when we have our 20th annual Night at Heritage Hall. Hard for me to believe that it's been 20 years. I remember the first year I portrayed William McKinley. And this year, I'm going to kind of tease you a little bit with some of the things that we've gotten on. I've already got several people lined up. One of the most interesting things that a group of people that we're going to have this year at United Heritage Hall, very much ties into America 250, is the camping group mm-hmm. that Warren Harding used to camp with when he was president of the United States.
Really?
Now,
he
we
was
have
a
some
camper, huh?
Yes, not like you and I might camp.
Okay.
Very interesting. We have some great photographs at the museum of the camping group. And the group all came to Marion for Warren's funeral when he mm-hmm. passed away. They were a very close group, did a lot of camping together. In that group, Harvey Firestone, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, John Burroughs, and Warren Harding.
Wow.
Now, these are men from industry. John Burroughs, if you do not know, was a naturalist. He was very good friends with Teddy Roosevelt. He helped to establish a lot of the national parks
okay.
that we have today, and traveled with the group. He kind of kept them up on whenever they would go to the woods. He could tell them about the trees and the fauna and the flowers and all that type of thing. So that was his part of it. Of course, Henry Ford and Harvey Firestone, industry, Firestone for his vulcanization and rubber tires. Henry Ford, obviously, for the automobile.
Okay.
And then, of course, Thomas Edison for all of his inventions mm-hmm. that took place. Now, I use the term camping a little loosely.
Okay.
Because in the photographs that we have, it shows how they actually camped. And just recently, within the last couple of months, on PBS, I saw a little 30-minute segment that was filmed when they were out camping.
Okay.
It was on PBS, and it shows the five of them all there. Of course, Henry Ford supplied all the automobiles that would take them wherever they needed to go.
Okay.
And they would take with them their maids, their butlers.
Oh, my.
Their cooks, their tents with, not like the tents we might use.
Right, right.
But these beautiful, huge tents with floors in them.
Mm.
All the modern conveniences would go right along with their camping.
Oh, my God.
So, henceforth, we call it glamping instead
right,
of camping, right? Because
right,
it's
right.
a glamorous form of
right,
camping.
Right.
And, of course, in the photographs and in the newsreel that I watched, that you can, I think if you went to PBS.org, you could probably look that up and watch it on your phone or on your TV. They're always dressed up with their white shirts and ties on.
Mm.
Now, they might have taken their jackets off, but they're
That's
all dressed
funny.
Up with white shirts and ties, with the exception of John Burroughs, because John Burroughs was a woodsman. He's usually got a pair of khakis on and a flannel shirt.
Mm.
And, of course, he had a long white beard and long white hair. So he's not too dressed up. He looks
right.
more like a camper than the
okay.
rest of them. So this year at Night at Heritage Hall, I will have Harvey Firestone, Henry Ford, John Burroughs,
okay.
Thomas Edison, and President Harding.
Oh, my.
And they will be staked out in the Harding rooms.
Okay.
So you can stop by there and
oh,
introduce yourself to
yeah.
those five people and talk to them a little bit.
I hope to make it again.
So
this
that's
year.
That's a
yeah.
that's a key. All right. Dates, March the 28th. It's on Saturday, the last Saturday of the month. And this year, it will be from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And last year we did it 5 to 8, and our crowd was down a little bit, and I think it was because we were interfering in the supper hour. And a lot of people eat
right.
supper around 5 o'clock. This way you can have your supper at 5 o'clock, be there at 6, or whenever you want to,
right.
and spend as much time as you want.
That's true.
This
it's
year,
again,
you can come and stay for an hour, you can stay for 2 hours, you can stay for the whole 3 hours. Again, the museum will be darkened. You'll come in through the auditorium entrance. You'll get a flashlight, and you'll start out and take a tour of the museum. And there'll be between 30 and 35 costumed characters there from different time periods of Marion's history, Ohio history, and national history. And again, with the troop of campers, President Harding's glamping group, you'll be able to see them as well as a lot of other people. I know for sure I'm going to have Rod Serling there this year.
Really?
For those people that do not know.
Twilight Zone?
Rod Serling from Twilight Zone lived 2 years in Marion.
Oh, my.
He worked for WMRN for
2 years.
Is he
still living?
No, he's since passed away.
Okay.
But he actually went to Antioch College down in Yellowstone. So he was a graduate of Antioch College here in Ohio.
Okay.
And came to Marion, spent a couple years working for WMRN, wrote a number of the scripts for Twilight Zone while he was here. He lived in the Harding Hotel while he was here. So I've got Rod Serling will make an appearance this year. Also, Adam Bauer. For those who do not know, Adam Bauer was a photographer here in Marion, was the principal photographer here in Marion throughout the latter part of the 19th century and a good part of the 20th century. And we actually have his large studio camera in the museum that you can see. If you step off the elevator going to the lower floor in the museum and immediately look to your left, you will see that camera that's located there. And he did a lot of what they call yard-long photographs, where he'd have huge groups of people, soldiers, club members, citizens that got together and had family picnics and that type of thing. So Adam Bauer will be there to talk to you. So that's just a few. As I said, there'll be 30, 35 people there that you can talk to.
Right.
We usually have a Civil War soldier or maybe a soldier from Vietnam. You know, it's hard to tell what we'll come up with. Always a different group.
Always interesting.
Always interesting. And that's our first official fundraiser
and
for
fun,
the season.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Good for kids. This year, I think admission is $10 for adults, $8 for kids. And again, it helps support the Marion County Historical Society and our efforts to keep and preserve all the history of Marion County, both past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
And you should also consider being a member of the Marion County Historical Society if you aren't already. And this is a great time to sign up because we're right in the middle of our membership drive for 2026. Individual memberships for students are $10, $35 for an individual, $50 for family, and that's a whole family even if you got a dozen kids.
Mm.
So that's pretty good entertainment. And that entitles you to entrance to the museum anytime you want, which includes Mary Ellen Withrow's exhibit, the Telephone Museum, the Popcorn Museum, and the Woodland Elves. Plus the history of Marion County.
Right.
So you cannot beat it. And you can join either by going to marionhistory.com or you can call 740-387-4255. Easy to do that. The office is now open, even though the museum is closed, Tuesday through Friday. Just go to the State Street side, ring the bell between the hours of 9 and 4, and they will be happy to let you in and sign you up. Also, this year we are moving our gift shop from the west side of the building to the east side of the building. So that any time, even when we're closed through the wintertime, you can stop at the museum, ring the bell on State Street side, come in, and the gift shop will be available for you.
Okay.
And we do have a huge selection of locally authored books on Marion County. We have a wonderful collection of books for sale on all the different cemeteries in Marion County.
Oh, okay.
One of our volunteers over the years have done a tremendous amount of research on all the cemeteries. So if you're into genealogy and you want to check out where family members might be buried and how to find their locations of the cemeteries and their graves, we can provide you with that information. Also, the Marion County Genealogical Society has a presence at the museum every Saturday when we are open through the season.
Right, right.
There's always someone staffing their office, and you can always stop in there and talk to their representative, and they can help you. They have obituaries that go all the way back to the founding of the county and a lot of histories of different people in the county. So that's another way to use the museum. And you don't have to be a member of the museum to take part in the genealogical society.
Right.
Or you do have to, you do not have to be a member of the genealogical society. That's a free service that they provide and we provide. We actually provide that location for them free of charge.
That's good.
So they can have access to, and that's where they keep all of their records there too. So that's a bit about what's going on there at the museum. As we get more into the season, we'll talk about other things that will be happening. We'll again be doing the duck race.
Okay.
Like we did last year. We're going to have a little change there with the duck race. This year, we're going to rent the pool from hours of 6 to 8.
Okay.
So once the pool shuts down for the general public, we'll have it open from 6 to 8 for the duck race and for members to come in and swim with their family if they want to after
nice.
The duck race is
yeah,
over. So
nice.
That way they can't run us out. We'll have the thing rented.
Right.
So we'll be doing that again. We'll be also having our annual rifle giveaway where we sell tickets to help raise money for the museum. And then, of course, we'll have our annual dinner with the presidents in December.
So we're not having the annual ice cream?
Yes,
social?
We'll be doing the ice cream
Hopefully
social
I can
as well.
Make that this
we
year,
haven't set
yeah.
the date yet for it, but we'll be doing that again. And that'll probably be in late August, late August. And we are working on a couple of other possible events as well. In fact, I have a meeting this afternoon at the museum to talk specifically about programming mm-hmm. for the year. I'm bringing down a friend of mine who's been very active over the years in the Wyandotte County Museum and has now left their board and is going to help, is also a member of the Marion County Historical Society and is also going to help with programming because that's what she did a lot of up in Wyandotte County. So
okay.
try to get some new fresh ideas and some
right.
new things to try out. So a lot of great things coming up. And, of course, America 250 is going to be providing a lot for us this year.
Right.
Keep
you busy.
That's going to keep us busy as well.
Right.
Just one quick thing I wanted to mention also about America 250. In July, one of the things that's going to be the highlight, I think, of July is a big community picnic that will be held on the grounds of the Harding Museum and House.
Okay.
So when that date is solidified, I'll make sure I give you that information.
Right.
You can repeat that on your show
right.
because we'd love to have the whole community show
right.
up for
That'd
that.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, sounds nice.
So also kicking off with the theme America, Celebrating America at 250, I got a couple of real short little digs here about a couple of things I think I found interesting that the Smithsonian Institute provided. Did Benjamin Franklin really fly a kite in a thunderstorm? What do you think? Did he?
I don't know. I thought he did. That's what they taught us, right?
Thanks to Franklin, we know lightning is simply a discharge of atmospheric electricity.
Okay.
But historians still debate whether he conducted the kite experiment.
Really?
So it's not been settled. That debate, however, misses a more important story. In 1749, Franklin wrote a proposal for an experiment to prove that lightning and electricity are the same. That experiment involved erecting a tall metal rod to accumulate atmospheric electricity. In 1752, a team of French experimenters became the first to actually try it. Franklin's idea gained credibility because the French scientists, men of standing, not some British colonist, lent it to their actual duty. Franklin would use his investigation in atmospheric electricity and high-pointed conductors to actually invent the lightning rod.
Mm.
So, although he may not have done that to prove electricity, he did invent the lightning rod as of that. And if you drive out in Marion County and look at some of the older houses
mm-hmm.
and some of the older barns, you will still to this day find lightning rods on top of
really?
Them. Houses and barns both. In fact, if you will go out and drive the road that goes over to Carnington, mm-hmm. you'll see a number of lightning rods on that
wow.
road.
Wow.
Yeah. Did James Madison switch over from the Federalists to the Democratic Republicans?
Federalist.
Now, a lot of people may not know about Federalists and Democratic Republicans, so here's a little quirk on that. No, he did not. Though Madison advocated a stronger national government, and though he was an author of a series of articles published in the Federalist Papers, he was never actually a member of the Federalist Party. When America's first political parties formed during the Washington administration, Madison and Thomas Jefferson helped form the Democratic Republicans. In fact, Madison opposed the Federalists, who were led by Alexander Hamilton, that's a name we know, mm-hmm. and John Adams, who became the second president of the United States, and John Marshall, who became a chief justice. In his insistence that the federal government's powers remain limited and enumerated. So, that answers those two big questions, which have always been on my mind. I don't know about others, but always been on my mind. The Smithsonian Institute needs your support. As most of you may know, our president has been trying to dismantle a lot of the exhibits in the Smithsonian Institute.
True.
And has cut financing for the a lot of the areas of the Smithsonian Institute. When Doge was running rampant in Washington for the first few months of 2025, the Smithsonian Institute was one of the agencies that was on the chopping block. For some reason, he had it against a lot of the exhibits, some of them involving African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you are not a member of the Smithsonian, consider becoming a member of the Smithsonian. You can become a member of the Smithsonian and get a wonderful magazine every month from the Smithsonian for about $35 a year. And that will help the Smithsonian tremendously in keeping their doors open and continuing to support American history and keep track of our history.
Right, right.
In fact, when I was here last month, I think I talked about the new exhibit that they're setting up on Grandma Moses, who was a painter. So keeping in that, I'm going to read an article from the Smithsonian that just came this month that I think it's worth sharing.
Okay.
And the reason why I think it's worth sharing is because it talks about the history of our driver's license. And why is that so important today? Well, all we need to do is take a look at what is taking place in Minnesota right now.
Ooh.
And the reason I say that is the federal government, ICE, and mm-hmm. the Bureau of Homeland Security is seriously considering making us Americans do like what Hitler did in Germany in 1932 when he took over as chancellor, in carrying something in our pocket that proves we are a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, never in the annals of this country have we had to prove our citizenship by our identity
right.
in this country. But it may be coming to that.
Yes.
It may be coming to that. The new licenses that we are getting now
right.
will have that form, I believe, of some identification on it that certifies that citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's still questionable
mm-hmm.
for what ICE is looking for. It may come to this, Linda. I don't know if it will or not, but I just think people need to be prepared.
Right.
If you don't have a passport, maybe you better think about getting one.
Mm.
Because a passport is really the only thing, the only accepted document worldwide that proves your citizenship. Whether you're an American citizen, or you're a French citizen, or you're a German citizen, whatever your
right.
citizenship is. So, this is just, I thought was kind of an interesting article about our license, our driver's licenses, and I thought I'd throw that out just because that's one way we've always proven our identity.
Right.
You know, if you get pulled over by
the... That was our ID, yeah.
Exactly. You get mm-hmm. pulled over by the police department, the sheriff's department, whatever. that was your form of identification. And for those people that didn't drive, they could always get a state ID.
Right, state ID.
Which looked just like a driver's license.
Right.
But it showed who you were. You were a resident of the state of Ohio.
Wow.
So let's all be prepared if it goes that far. Hopefully it doesn't. Hmm. I mean, hopefully the members of Congress finally grow some backbone and stand up and do their job. And
that'd
rein
nice.
Some of this stuff in.
Hey, that'd be nice.
It would be nice if they do that. And come November, maybe we'll vote some of those out that don't do what they're supposed to do there.
Amen.
All right. In the late 19th and early 20th centuries, I thought this was a very interesting article. American cities were confronting a new invasive species, the car.
Mm-hmm.
Up and down the streets of San Francisco, the automobiles are sizzling and steaming, lamented the San Francisco Call in December of 1901, as the new terror of locomotion has been added to the traffic. They were still using horses and buggies then. That fear was real. In the heady first years of widespread automobile use, anyone of any age was free to drive a motor car wherever they wanted, and at whatever speed their early machines could achieve. Stop signs, lane markings, even driving lessons were non-existent. Eventually, local governments led the efforts to rein in these horseless carriages. Chicago introduced an 18-question exam for drivers in 1899. I did not know that. While other jurisdictions focused on instead on licensing the vehicles instead of the driver. As New York, for one, did in 1903. Now, Pennsylvania instituted the first age requirement for drivers in 1909. The first driver's license that we would recognize came in 1910 when the New York Assembly sponsored a new law requiring chauffeurs to pass an examination to secure a license on a paper document with their photo on the back. California became the first state to feature the photo on the front, but not until 1958. Soon, stocked with more personal data, height, eye color, whether the driver wore glasses, the licenses became useful as proof of identity. For a long time, driver's licenses were relatively easy to fake, making them an easy tool for underage drinkers and others seeking to cloak their identity. One of the first high-tech additions appearing on licenses in the 1990s was the magnetic strip, developed in the 1960s by IBM, that allowed law enforcement to verify that person's identity. Later, after 9/11 terrorists breached airport security using counterfeit IDs, states added more stringent security features. Today's licenses now boast holograms that appear when the license is tilted. Microprinting, which is text hidden inside another visual component, and sometimes minute perforations made by lasers to form a state-specific image. In California, for example, it's a brown bear. Today, some states are phasing out those magnetic strips. In October, California introduced new license designs, bursting with redwoods and golden poppies, and replacing the stripes with a barcode containing a unique security signature. Now, as digital wallets continue to displace leather ones, states from Hawaii to Louisiana are beginning to accept virtual licenses. This is what really got me. Virtual licenses via a smartphone or even a smart watch.
Wow.
Some states, such as Michigan, even allow you to take the written portion of your driving test online.
Wow.
Regardless, once the rubber hits the road, you're going to need that ID.
True.
Now, I could not believe the smartphone and the visual license. You know, and I did not realize this until this past summer when we went to the Indians ball game. You have to get your ticket online now on your phone.
Right.
My son drove my wife and I up to a ball game this summer at the last minute. He didn't have a ticket. So they've always had ticket windows.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he went to the ticket window to get a paper ticket to get in just for the one game. They don't give you a paper ticket just for that. Fortunately, he has a smartphone.
Right.
So he was able to get a ticket that way. But what about us folks like me that still has a flip phone? And I wanted to go to a ball game by myself. I can't get in.
So you're out of luck, huh?
I can't get in. You can't go to a theater production anymore.
No.
A large theater production without a ticket. Fortunately, the Palace is still giving tickets.
Amen.
Paper tickets.
Yeah.
But in New York and places like that.
Even Columbus.
Yeah, even Columbus. It's all done on the telephone.
On the phone.
Yeah. So if you don't have a member of your family that's going with you, you know, the old saying, you're in, just right? SOL. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't get in. You can't get in.
So. Can't get in. Wow.
So I guess in one sense of the word, it's all good. I mean, it's all good. But sometimes I think when the powers that be come up with all these great ideas and putting all this new technology in shape and form, they forget about the people that are still alive, that mm-hmm. are in their 70s and 80s and 90s.
They don't even care.
That haven't moved forward, especially in rural America.
True.
It's not so much in big cities because you're forced pretty much to do it there.
Yeah.
But in rural America, which I still consider us rural America.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Country.
exactly. So.
Yeah, we're in the country.
I guess it's things to think about. And as my wife says, you know, they just have to drag me kicking and streaming into the modern world.
Oh, my.
I'm still a proponent of books. I don't like Kindles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like trying to read a book on a phone. Obviously, I don't have one of those phones. But to me, if I'm going to read a book, I want a book in front of me. I want something to hold on to, you know, something I grew up with, something I fully understand. But just looking back at this whole debacle that's going on in Minnesota and soon to be going on in other states. And I hear this morning on the news that now they're considering moving ICE into a couple other states, Democratic states, with ICE agents in the thousands. It really has gotten me concerned about this identity thing, about being able to establish your identity.
But is that a vendetta against his opponents?
Sure it is. Sure it is.
Why is that even allowed?
There's no other way to talk about it.
Right.
I mean, it is.
Why are they allowing that? Judges and, I mean, come on.
Right now, the only thing that's even put any kind of a quell on it are the court systems. And he is at least paying attention to the court system. But if it continues to go on, how long is that going to hold up?
Right.
You know? And depending on what some of these decisions that we're waiting on for the Supreme Court to make, you don't know what that group of people is going to come up with. I mean, that court is so lopsided in their opinions anymore. It's becoming politicized.
Yes, it
just
is.
Just like everything else.
Yes.
And right now, Jack Smith is testifying before Congress because he, you know, filed two cases against Trump when he staged that whole debacle back in January of last, when his first term. They're putting free speech on trial, too. So be careful, I guess, and be careful what you say. Free speech may be a thing of the past. The whole Constitution may be out the door before we know it.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
So make sure you've got your ducks in a row when it comes to who you are, because you never know when an ICE agent that's masked and has no identity will drag you out of your car or bust your door down and come in your house.
Yeah.
So I've never seen anything like it.
Me either.
Never seen anything like it.
Only on the movies.
Oh, yeah, only in the movies. So America 250, think about what's going on. On the Historical Society's website, MarionHistory.com, there is a snippet of Marion history on there every day. Right. It's also on the Facebook page.
Okay.
So you can go to either one of them. And Randy was telling me the other day that they've had been over 25,000 followers on that Facebook page.
That's great.
That are looking at those history snippets from Marion.
I bet.
Every year.
A lot of history here because the president lived here. So people are
president
interested.
President lived here.
Yeah.
There was a lot of industry here.
Yes, a lot of industry.
That came, I mean, you know, Marion Power Shovel, the Huber Company.
Yes.
All these different things that happened here. GTE, huge presence here. Whirlpool, huge presence here. The Halt and Saki Company, Isley's Company, L&K Motel and Restaurants.
Oh, yeah, I remember them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you stop and think about it. And those were nationwide companies. L&K's were everywhere. Mm. Isley's were everywhere. You know, all you have to say is Isley.
Mm-hmm.
And Klondike.
Right, right.
You know, unfortunately, a lot of people don't know about the Klondike story, but still, we're trying to educate them.
Right. Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much again, and I'm sorry I missed the first hour of the
program. That's okay. That's all right.
Hope you're feeling better. And
somewhat. I'm a little stronger than I was, that's for sure.
Again, remind you about next Tuesday's board meeting that
right.
we had to cancel because we didn't have a quorum. People were sick.
Got it on my own.
So
I put it on my calendar, absolutely.
But thanks again. Appreciate the time.
And thank you, Fred. Thank you. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. Have a safe and blessed and happy weekend. Make sure you have all the things that you need. They claim that we've got a storm coming out of this world. So please be safe. Please be careful. And if you don't have to go out, please do not. You know, make sure you got stuff for your pets and all of that. And you got plenty of water and snacks, you know. So
six or more inches of snow, I've
heard. Oh, my, yeah. Okay, be blessed. Thank you.
The place for guests like Dean of